Our psalm reading this morning is Psalm 82. Hear now the word of the Lord. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, "You are gods. You are all sons of the Most High. But you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance." This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful that you have gathered us together this morning in your name. We pray that you will inspire us with your spirit. Help us, Lord, to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Well, this morning I want to begin with a seemingly silly question. When was the last time you read a stop sign? Stop signs have become so commonplace, so familiar to us, that we don't actually stop and read the sign. We see the red octagon and we assume we know what it means. Potentially it means there's oncoming traffic. It's telling us to stop and look both ways. It's there for our protection. But sometimes we assume we know more than what the stop sign actually says. So we take it into our own hands to come to what we call a rolling stop, where we glance both directions, and if there's no one coming, including a policeman, we just roll right on through the stop sign we ignore what it actually says. And if we look both ways and we see a truck coming, and it's a little ways down the road, we assume the sign means accelerate so that we can beat the truck and not have to follow the truck down the highway. Because God forbid we should be delayed by 2 or 3 minutes from our final destination. Our time is more important than that. Well, all of this is to say that this passage this morning was one that, when I initially looked at it in the lectionary, I thought, oh, we've heard that story so many times. You know, when we choose the passage that we're going to preach on, we have various options. The common lectionary actually gives us a number of different passages. And sometimes when I read those passages, one of them will just jump right out at me, and it will feel like the Spirit has led me to a particular passage. Other times, you feel nothing. And those are the Sundays that you aren't quite sure what it is you're going to preach on. And sometimes you're up until late in the night on Saturday night, still trying to figure out what the Spirit's trying to tell you. Sometimes the Spirit's very quiet. Well, my initial reaction when I read the lectionary passages for this week and I saw that the story of the Good Samaritan was one of those passages, I said, oh, that's such a common story. We've all heard it so many times. Just recently, I read it to the men's breakfast and we talked about the meaning of this passage. So my first inclination was just to come to a rolling stop and then roll right on through the stop sign. I thought there's nothing that we need to spend time on with this passage. But then the Spirit spoke. And I started to realize that there was more in this passage than even I had seen before. And so I said, perhaps it's time to stop and read this passage again. And let us be reminded of what it truly says. To me, it says that it is fair to say that our hope lies in our faith. And that is something that we tend to overlook way too frequently as we go about our very busy lives. Yes, we go about our daily routines of planning and scurrying. We make lists and we put miles on our cars and we think about all the ways that we are now in control of our lives. So we need to plan ahead and we need to plan well. But then something happens that we seem to have no ability to control. Maybe we get sick and we're afraid of the diagnosis. Maybe we have a car accident and our lives suddenly change. Or maybe we lose a loved one, or we lose a job, or we find ourselves sad and depressed and alone. Maybe our children are suddenly adults and they're looking at colleges and careers that will fit with their future plans. And we realize that those plans don't necessarily include spending time each day with their parents. Heavy on our minds this morning are the ravages of war, the ravages of terrorism, and even the unrest in our own nation. Surely someone has the wisdom and authority to tell us how to live our lives with hope in this stressful world. And then we turn to the Gospel of Luke, and we see Jesus telling a parable. He says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Now again, I say, surely someone has the wisdom and the authority to tell us how to live our lives with hope in this stressful world. For you and me, our hope is in our faith. And now if we can just follow what it is that our Savior tells us. In his book entitled The Divine Conspiracy, theologian Dallas Willard quoted scripture from Matthew 7, verses 24 and 25, which says, "So those who hear me and do what I say are like those intelligent people who build their homes on solid rock, where rain and floods and winds cannot shake them." And then Willard went on to say, these words from Jesus show that it must be possible to hear and do what he said. And then Willard concludes his thought with this: certainly, life on the rock must be a good way to live. Wouldn't you like to be one of those intelligent people who know how to live a rich and unshakable life? One free from loneliness, fear, and anxiety, and filled with constant peace and joy? Would you like to love your neighbors as you do yourself, and be free of anger, envy, lust, and covetousness? Would you like to have no need for others to praise you? And would you like not to be paralyzed and humiliated by their dislike or condemnation? Would you like to have the inspiration and strength to lead a constant life of creative goodness? It sounds pretty good thus far, doesn't it? The late Dr. Dallas Willard was a professor of philosophy at the University of Southern California, and he was considered a leader in the contemporary spiritual formation movement. His writings were intended to help us understand better how we come to be more Christ-like. The bottom line is quite simple, frankly. Learn what Jesus taught when he walked the earth, and then do your best to follow it. As a means of teaching to the expert in the law, Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan. This is a parable we have heard many, many times. But in times when we are searching for hope in a troubled world, I am convinced that going back to Jesus' teachings is exactly where we need to be, because our hope is in our faith. You see, Jesus concludes his parable of the Good Samaritan by saying, "Go and do likewise." What is it that the Good Samaritan has done that we should do likewise? First, he sees the man who had been robbed and beaten. Both a priest and a Levite had passed him by, acting as if he was invisible. Actually, they did see him, but then they promptly ignored him. They saw him, but not as a neighbor. They perceived him instead to be a burden and perhaps even a threat. And putting themselves first, they walked past a neighbor in need. Second, the Good Samaritan not only sees the man in need as a neighbor, but he draws near to him, coming over to help. And by doing so, he becomes vulnerable himself. What if this were a trap? What if he might have been beaten and robbed himself? But the Samaritan chose to go to his neighbor, to see his pain, and to assist. And third, after seeing him and coming close, the Samaritan had compassion on him, tending his wounds, transporting him to the inn, and making sure that he is taken care of, even by paying out of his own pocket. Now, seeing the man was vital. Drawing near to him was essential, but the final and most meaningful gesture was that the Samaritan acted out of compassion to care for the man's need. These three interrelated moves, seeing, drawing near, and having compassion, offer us an example of what it is to be Christ-like. In the broader context of this story, you can look at humanity and say that God, through Jesus, saw our vulnerability and need. Jesus drew near by coming to walk among us as the incarnate Son of God. And then on the cross, he took action by suffering for each one of us, and then rising again so that death could no longer cause us fear. Jesus chose to teach us using a parable in which he gives a Samaritan the role of the good guy. You see, at that time, in that culture, Samaritans were outcasts in the eyes of the Jews. A Samaritan was not like the heroes of the day. He certainly was not a likely hero of a story of being Christ-like. And yet it was this man who would have been shunned by others that Jesus chose to hold up as an example. From this parable, we can learn many things. That's why it's important to continue reading it, even if we have heard it many times before. For you see, God often shows up where we least expect him to be. No one expected God to show up through a baby born in a manger. No one expected God to show up through common fishermen and tax collectors who would become Jesus' disciples. And no one expected God to show up through an apostle named Paul, who once persecuted Christians for their radical beliefs. And no one expected that there would be a Messiah who would be so humble and compassionate, so full of love, that he would die a terrible, painful death on a cross so that we might have eternal life. So friends, on this Sunday, as on every other day of the week, when we are looking for answers and looking for someone with wisdom and authority to lead us out of our own wilderness, remember, our hope lies in our faith. And finally, the last thing that I noted in this passage as I read it in preparation for this morning was something that I had not realized before, even all the many, many times that I have read this story. What I realized is that there's not just two commandments. Yes, we have the commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And we have the commandment to love your neighbor. But there is a third commandment in this passage. It says, go and do likewise. The word go, if you look at it in the Greek original language, is an imperative verb, which means it is a command. It is a command that says we are to go and do likewise. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we bow humbly before you. We thank you for the way that you speak to us through your word, the way that we are never wise enough to stop learning. Indeed, you can always teach us new things and show us new ways to be Christ-like. And for that, we are grateful. Now give us the courage to go and do likewise. As we see the example of Jesus, as we see the way that his disciples changed their lives in order to follow him, as we have seen his word and his church spread throughout the world, we pray that you will give us the courage to rely upon our faith and to move forward in our attempt to be more Christ-like. Lord, this morning we thank you for those who have gathered with us. We pray for those who are unable to be with us this morning, whether because of sickness or vacation or other things that have kept them away. We just pray that they will feel your presence on this Sabbath day, that they will pause and realize that whether here or there, you are with them. And Lord, this morning we just rejoice that Sophia is with us. We thank you for the way that you have blessed her and her family. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to be with Sophia and to guide her. And Lord, we are just so grateful to see her delightful face in our midst this morning. And Lord, we also want to remember Giuseppe, our dear brother, who will be facing surgery coming up on July 25th, and we pray that you will be with him. As we have said many times, Lord, we're going to pray him through this procedure, and that is a prayer that is done with confidence because we are confident in your mercy and your compassion. Lord, we lift up to you Priscilla as she continues to struggle with her health. We pray that you will lead the doctors in finding the right way to treat her illness and that she may soon be back amongst us again as well. And Lord, we pray for Daniel as he is in Afghanistan. We pray for his safety. And we pray that you will bless his family who are left behind here in the United States. Lord, we are just grateful for all that you do to show us that indeed you are a kind and a loving God, one who has compassion on all of us. And we pray, Lord, that you will give us the courage to pause and to recognize your power in our lives. So we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.